This is an erotica podcast that focuses on LGBT relationships and teratophilia. Listener discretion is advised. Before me lies a field of wheat, an endless sea of brown and yellow as far as the eye can see. The field looks aggressive. Its edges rough and spiky, but I walk through it anyway. My naked body parts through the sea of grain, yet I feel no sharpness or stinging across my flesh. Instead, the grains caress me. They gently brush against my skin, pulling towards my body as if they crave it. They stroke my thighs, fondle my penis, and graze against my ass and tail. My cock hardens, excited by the prairie's ministrations. I smile to myself. I knew it would be like this. The sky is so beautiful, such a rich color of brown and yellow, like the brightest of amber. A raven flies through the sky. One of its feathers floats down and I catch it. The texture of it is weird. It feels silky and smooth, like touching freshly washed hair. It's beautiful. Blacker than the darkest of nights and shines brighter than the purest of obsidian. And the smell. I know this smell. This earthy aroma of patchouli and sandalwood. But there are no plants out besides the grain. How can I? My cock pulses. It stands straight up at the sky as if accusing it responsible for its state. Is it? I can feel my tongue salivating. My blood flows through me as if I'm on fire. My heartbeat is now the only thing I can hear. That bird, this field, this everything. I know it. I know it. I want it. I need it. I checked my alarm. It will have to go out into the sun soon. The digits are nearly faded, but I can still tell that it is too early for me to be up. I look outside and watch as the full moon glows in the night sky. Night. Black. The tent in my sheets does not go unnoticed. I place my hand underneath my bedding and begin stroking myself to completion. Hopefully, this will put me out for the rest of the night.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Captain Bask.
Jerry?
It's Prince Vex. He's been getting on headquarters about being too friendly with co-workers. He wants us to refer to each other by our titles now. I'm Katta Busheri, your Captain Bask. Asmodeus is now Afisa Asmodeus. Etc., etc.
Prince Vex is neither king of this region or in charge of headquarters, so I will continue referring to my friend by her name. Good morning, Cherry.
Fine, but if he comes back, I'm going into secretary mode again. Good morning, Bask.
She's been looking healthier these past few weeks. Her horns look stronger, her cheeks rounder, and her fair skin, once dull, now brightens up the room.
What's with the big smile on your face?
I'm just happy to see you've been eating again. Asmodeus and I were worried that you would be nothing but skin and bones soon.
Me? Bony? Never.
So, did you finally go to the local brothel like I told you?
No offense to the guys and gals down there, but that's the equivalent of eating cheap takeout.
You know, you're picky for a succubus.
I can't help it if I have a refined taste.
So, who's the lucky person?
Hmm?
Your partner, who's been feeding you. I assume you must be seeing someone, considering how you're glowing right now.
Oh, you wouldn't know them.
This kingdom is only so big. Try me.
Well, you see...
Our conversation is cut short by the entry of two officers. One I know well. Asmodeus stands tall and proud, like always. His uniform is immaculate, his black beard trimmed and cut. Even his ram-like horns appeared spotless. Next to him was an Uzi, a nervous-looking Uzi at that. Telling by how the face of flowers they were carrying were shaking in their gelatin-like hands. Captain Basque, Gatti Buccelli. So, the prince has gotten to him too, I see. This is our new recruit, Elmer. He'll be starting on the force today.
Officer Elmer, reporting for duty, allies.
At ease, soldier.
Oh, are those flowers? They're so pretty.
She was right. The petals were brown with minor strikes of yellow. The colors were striking, yet, despite never having seen this plant before, something about them seemed familiar.
Ah, yes. Back where I'm from, it's customary to greet new friends with a gift. These are...
Hazel.
Yeah. Hazel Fay. Are you a botanist, Captain Basque?
No. I assumed. Because of the color.
I'll put these right on my desk so everybody in headquarters can see them.
I don't mean to alarm anyone, but I believe I smell a human.
What?
Calm down, everyone. It's just Basque.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
I'm sorry. Captain Basque is a human?
No, I just work with one.
You work with one?
Technically. I'm sure you've noticed the gigantic stone wall that separates us from the human side of the kingdom. Well, in the middle of that wall is a station. We call it the Tunnel. It is the only path in Morimitsu that leads to Kijimura and vice versa. High-ranking Afisas from both regions are sent there to guard the station. We make sure no humans or monsters go through the tunnel without permission.
I understand, but... I mean, to work so close to a human...
We're cut off by a glass window. He stays on his side, and I stay on mine. However, there are holes in the glass that allow us to speak to each other. This is how I believe the human scent gets on me. His cologne is quite strong.
May I ask why the wall was built? Back where I'm from, such extreme measures aren't necessary.
About a year ago, there was an incident.
A monster got caught with two human lovers.
Two?
Well, he was a Limia. And you know, two dicks.
Anyway, that caused a huge uproar in the kingdom. Our king and the queen of Kijijimura built the wall to make sure an incident like that never happened again.
But what happened to the monster and humans?
Well, the Lamia is carrying out his 100-year sentence as we speak. The humans, however, were apparently very well known in Kijijimura and got off only with paying a fine.
Ah, humans.
Ah, this conversation reminds me. We need to be leaving soon. Huh? Don't say you've forgotten. It is the first of the month. King Jamal has his monthly meeting with the Council of Order today. Once every month, the king holds a meeting with the Council of Order. The point of the meetings is to discuss the current ongoings in the monster-based regions. High-ranking officers such as Asmodeus and I are sent to every gathering to protect the king, in case one of the council members felt the sudden urge to overthrow him. In all my years of being an officer, I never have seen a member of the council attempt to do so, but it is not the council I am worried about. Prince Vex is sitting at the end of the table. He looks more irritated than usual. His spotted ears are glued to his skull as if already on the attack. He also keeps picking at the thread of his robes, ruining the expensive fabric. Shame. It's such a fetching garment. A yellow baroque pattern on brown linen. Colors that remind me of...
Still with us?
Why? Sorry. I was just hoping that this meeting ends soon. The faster it ends, the faster I can get tunnel duty over with.
And now for the last item of the meeting. The treaty. There are a lot of minor terms and conditions to the treaty, but to keep this short, I'll just mention the major ones. The Treaty of Peace states as follows. To keep peace amongst each other, humans and monsters must stay in their own territory. Officers must accompany if ever a reason a human must enter monster territory, or vice versa. If a human or monster is caught on land that is not their own without an officer in accompaniment, the choice of punishment can be imprisonment or death. The same rule applies if ever a human and a monster are caught having sexual relations. In the rare case of a human and monster forming a romantic relationship, the option of imprisonment is withdrawn, and the only choice is death. If these rules are not upheld, the treaty can be nullified, and thus the war can continue. For those of you who wish to keep the treaty intact, including... the condition of keeping human and monster separated, please raise one of your hands, paws, wings, or other appendages.
Every hand goes up except one. Of course.
For those who oppose...
Yes, I do. This treaty is nonsense and will never last. We need to attack the humans, not try to be their friends.
Your Highness, with all due respect... You've made this argument several times before, and in those several times, we have explained to you that it does not benefit us or the environment to attack the humans.
It's not about making friends, but about keeping the continent livable. War causes great damage to the environment. Or do you not remember how our great ancestors tore this planet apart due to their oil and coal-fueled battles?
Yes, but we have evolved. We have solar-powered weapons now. If we attack them when they least expect it, we can get them before they get us.
And why do you believe the humans plan on attacking us, brother?
Have you not seen how quickly their technology advances compared to ours? It will only be a matter of days before they're on our kingdom steps with their lasers and bombs and microwaves.
Treaty states that any advancement of war tech must be shared between both sides.
And you just expect the humans to keep their word? The incident from a year ago would be the perfect excuse to end the treaty. Brother, if you end it now, you can help bring on a new era for monster kind all over.
No.
But...
No! If I nullify the treaty, I put the lives of many monsters at risk. War... is serious, Vex. People die on both sides. It's irresponsible for you to even ask for such a thing when you yourself have never even picked up a sword. The treaty has lasted for 1,000 years, and it will last 1,000 more. Now, if there are no more objections, meeting dismissed.